Scrimmage number one for Tennessee football. It's in the books. Who stood out? Who still needs some more work? We've got all that and more here on a Wednesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, what is up? Happy Wednesday, and welcome in to Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day. I am your host, Eric Kane. So glad to have you guys along for the ride with us here today as we continue on throughout the week. And today we are going to recap what Josh Heupel said. We're going to hear from Josh Heupel and discuss some notes that gathered on the Tennessee football scrimmage from Tuesday. And so looking forward to getting into that. Some good notes that we've got here. All that and more coming up on Locked On Vols. Josh Ward joining the show for a little Ward Wednesday action in segment two. And then Saturday Down South put out their top 25 players in the SEC for the 2022 season. Who from the University of Tennessee makes their way onto that list? We will all discuss that and more here on a Wednesday show. So you can follow this podcast at underscore Canner on Twitter at Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. We're the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. And of course, you can find us on YouTube, subscribe wherever you find your podcast. Okay, so some news from scrimmage number one for the University of Tennessee football. I've got some notes here. I can't say everything, obviously, because, don't want to burn anybody. But a couple of notes that I had, and from Josh Heupel, obviously, in his press conference, he did mention that Jeremy Banks had an interception on a really nice play where he read his key, burst out to the flat, and picked it off. I can say that that interception came from a Hendon Hooker, and that's nothing to be alarmed right there. I think it was a better football play than it was a bad throw or anything. If you're Jeremy Banks and you're in the center of the defense, say even if you have trips out the one side and you're bumped out a little bit, if you get your key, see that there's a screen coming in the flat for you to move from where you are in the middle of the field or from your position at middle linebacker and burst yourself all the way out to the flat and pick a ball off right before you tiptoe on that sideline, that's showing some athletic ability. So a really, really nice play apparently from Jeremy Banks in the scrimmage today. So Josh Heupel was forthcoming with that, said that that was the only turnover created, or only turnover on the day, but a really, really nice play from Jeremy Banks. Josh Heupel was really pleased with the run game on the day. I'll get to my notes here in just a moment, but with the run game on the day, saying that Jabari Small did a nice job moving the football up and down the field. Was really very in particular pleased with his freshman running backs and Dylan Sampson and Justin Williams Thomas, which was their first action in a scrimmage type setting here for fall camp. Of course, Justin Williams Thomas was here over the spring and got a couple of scrimmages in as well. But Josh Heupel, very pleased with his freshman running backs. Let's go ahead and hear from the head man. This is Josh Heupel on the young guns, Dylan Sampson and Justin Williams Thomas.
Those two guys just in training camp, obviously it's Dylan's, first time working with us in live situations. He's grabbed on to playing, competing at this level, understanding how to function and operate within our offensive system. Does a great job of delivering blocks and is a willing blocker too. So really pleased with the progress he made. And Justin's come back a much different football player than he was as he finished spring ball. He made, I think you guys have heard me through the summer and even after the spring game, talk about there's a lot of time before we get to training camp. He's taking advantage of that time and done a better job in pass pro, but done a better job with his pad level on contact, done a better job with reading his keys and making the right cuts.
Again, that was Josh Heupel on the freshman running backs, Justin Williams Thomas and Dylan Sampson. And it sounds like they had a pretty good day. You saw on Instagram, the Tennessee posted that Dylan Sampson had a longer touchdown run. So you know that he found the end zone. So some good notes there. Josh Heupel also pleased with the work that they got in with situational football. They ran nearly 100 plays out there on Tuesday morning. So they were able to do some third and short, third and longs, goal line, even some overtime work, according to Josh Heupel. But getting to work some situational football and the emergence of some defensive linemen and how they need to continue to press in order to get this football team where it needs to get to. Here's Josh Heupel from Tuesday's press conference right after the scrimmage on situational football and his defensive line play.
Yeah, we did do some situational football with everybody on both sides of football, offense and defense. There was some emphasis that we put, you know, for offensively what they were looking for on some defensive looks, structure, whatever it might be, and vice versa. We were able to get some of that. I thought offensively they picked up those short yardage situations we're more efficient in what we're doing. Obviously, that's going to be critical to us offensively. A year ago, some of the struggles that we had in some of the games where we didn't play our best, the short yard situations were a huge part of that, and not being able to get that next first down and get to the next set of downs. Defensively, I thought, you know, red zone defense has been an emphasis for us. I thought that's something that today, you know, they did a better job in. It's a point of emphasis as we've gone through training camp. It will continue to be on the back half of camp as well.
Specifically, the pass rush out of your front four, did you see more action?
Yeah, I do think that, you know, we're further and deeper than we were a year ago. We're not where we need to be and where I want to be. The veterans inside of our program have continued to get better. Byron Young, Tyler Barron, those guys have made significant increases from where they were when we stepped off the football field in the bowl game. We have some young guys inside of our program that feel like, you know, if they keep growing and competing, you know, have a chance to help us as we get into the season, and we need those guys to come on.
And then finally from Josh Heupel, you know, Rob Lewis asked this question in the press conference. He said, hey, I think we kind of take Hendon Hooker for granted, everything he did last year, but how did Hendon Hooker look on the day? We know, as I mentioned earlier in the show, that it was him that threw the interception to Jeremy Banks, but overall, you know that he had a couple of touchdown passes according to the release set out by the University of Tennessee. One of those went to Jacob Warren, I can tell you that right now. Plus, you probably saw that whenever they posted a picture of those guys celebrating post-touchdown. But how did Hendon Hooker look? Josh Heupel, very pleased with where his senior quarterback is at this point in camp.
Efficient, effective, you know, handled the operation side of it extremely well. He's been in really good command of what we're doing offensively, keeping us out of, you know, bad plays, bad situations. You know, turning negatives into zero, been decisive, getting the ball out of his hands, you know, in complete command of what we're doing on the offensive side of the ball, run game and pass game, protections as well. Really pleased with his progress, you know, through spring ball, but even after spring ball to where he is now. Did some really great things out there today. Yesterday had a great day too, and love where he's at. Keep fighting and be ready for week one. Go be your best.
All right, again, that was Josh Heupel, Tennessee head football coach, on the scrimmage on Tuesday morning. And a couple other notes I'll kind of bring to the table here. I can tell you that it was J.J. Crawford that got the run with the first team, and he apparently had a really, really nice day. So did Gerald Mincy, who got some run with the ones as well, but, you know, primarily played with the twos on Tuesday. But he had a really nice day as well. It sounds like both those guys at left tackle that are competing are, you know, had a really strong day on Tuesday. I think Gerald Mincy might have been one of the guys that sprung Dylan Sampson on that long touchdown run. And, of course, J.J. Crawford actually saw him coming out of the facility on Tuesday, stopped and talked with him for a moment, said, how'd you do? And he said, I'm really pleased with myself. I think that I did it really, really well today. And, of course, that's all you can kind of hope for whenever you're in a battle at left tackle and one of those scrimmages come up and you leave those scrimmages, you feel good about your performance. So it sounds like Tennessee's left tackle position had a pretty good day. And Josh Heupel wouldn't really comment on that. Of course, got to go back and watch the film, but saying that both of those guys are progressing and moving right along and yada, 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 all that type of stuff. So hopefully we'll get a better idea exactly where that left tackle battle is, who leads. I still think it's J.J. Crawford. He's kind of been the one that steps up and rubs with the ones at first the entire camp. He was here in spring while Gerald Mincy missed some time as a brand new transfer. So, well, hopefully we'll get to see kind of that pecking order leaving scrimmage two on Sunday. But nonetheless, you had those two guys that played pretty well. Walker Merrill was on the outside as he's been playing on the outside throughout fall camp. Brew McCoy did not practice on Tuesday, didn't scrimmage. If you read my practice reports and listen to him on WNML and read him on VolQuest.com, you know that he's been a bit banged up the last couple of days. I think on Sunday he was off to the side stretching with a trainer. On Monday he didn't even have a helmet or shoulder pads on, and he was doing some work off to the side. So Brew McCoy did not scrimmage on Tuesday. So it provided some more opportunity, guys, for Ramel Keaton, Walker Merrill, stuff like, you know, Jalen Hyatt in the slot. And I think there were some big plays. I think Hyatt had a pretty good day receiving. Of course, I mentioned Jacob Warren had a touchdown catch. I think Princeton Fan had a long Princeton Fan had a long reception as well. So looked like the passing game, you know, overall was pretty solid for scrimmage number one. Now there were some balls on the ground. People are saying there were some balls on the ground. It was kind of sloppy. And again, that's some of the stuff that I said in yesterday's show. Like, that's scrimmage number one. That is routine stuff. Okay. You want to get sharpened on it. You want to continue to, you know, get better and increase the tempo and no pre-snap penalties and all that type of stuff. Haven't heard anything about pre-snap penalties, but just in terms of the sloppiness, that's okay for scrimmage number one. That is to be expected. But apparently the tempo looked pretty good, and it shouldn't shock you. It's probably not as fast as you want it to be, but this is a returning offense that returns four or five starters on the offensive line, your quarterback, running back, and star wide receiver. So that doesn't shock anybody that the tempo was pretty good on Tuesday. I believe Dylan Sampson got some reps of the ones, as did Justin Williams-Thomas at points in time. Jabari Small apparently had a really strong day, just moving the football up and down the field and showing that he's had a really, really good offseason. Mentioned the Jeremy Banks interception and kind of what that looked like. On defense, heard that Desmond Williams, the junior college transfer, had a really strong day. And Christian Charles was up there repping with the first and the second team at quarterback, even though he has missed some time pretty much with a red non-contact jersey throughout all the way up into camp until on Monday when he ditched that red jersey. So that is some significance as well in terms of that quarterback position battle, because, excuse me, you know, we need to figure out who's going to play cornerback. It looks like Kamal Haddon, who is continuing to miss some time, is a bit banged up right now. I think if he's healthy, he's one of your corners, but it might very well be Warren Burrell and Christian Charles. Maybe Brandon Turnage will have something to say about that the next couple of weeks before opening night. But nonetheless, Christian Charles, I think he's one of the best ones back there. And so I think that he's stating his case to be a starting cornerback in this defense. I also think that the star position is very unresolved right now. Tamarian McDonald's having a really good camp. He, along with the transfer Wesley Walker, continuing to battle that out at the star position. So there were some notes from scrimmage number one. Again, you know, we're not able to be there. We can only go off of, you know, what we are told from hashtag sources who were there, and kind of piece everything together from what Josh Heupel said in his press conference. And of course, what Tennessee puts out with the social team, some of those touchdowns, some of those plays, some of those pictures. It's very, very investigative work at this point in time, because we cannot be at the scrimmages. Long gone are the day. And of course, I was in elementary school when this happened, but long gone are the day when the media were invited to scrimmages. You could sit in the press box and they would print out stats for you. I can't even imagine that. I cannot even imagine having a stat sheet handed to me after a scrimmage saying, this guy got this many carries or this many yards, this offense, you know, ran this many series, this quarterback completed this many passes. I mean, goodness gracious, that is truly, truly some wishful thinking right there. But all in all, scrimmage one, about what we thought, too many balls on the ground, a little sloppy at times, but Josh Heupel seemed pleased with the efforts. I know that the offense made some plays. I think that some of these defenders, you know, really, really stepped up. Guys like Desmond Williams, who, again, we have not heard from at all so far in fall football camp. Jeremy Banks with the interception, and a couple of these young guns who might have struggled with the tempo a little bit, but overall, you know, came to play just a little bit. But we all know there's a long way to go before Ball State comes to town on September the 1st, that Thursday night, and Tennessee will be back on the practice field, not today, off day, but we'll be back on it for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then another scrimmage on Sunday. And I look forward to bringing you some coverage of that. All right, we're going to have Josh Ward come up and join the show here in just 1 moment for a little Ward Wednesday action. But first, it's betonline.net, the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events with the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find the reviews and news for every single league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting to scores to podcasts and a whole lot more. They have you covered at BetOnline.net. Head on over to BetOnline today or use your mobile device. Learn about all the latest trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, it is where the game starts. All right, everybody, welcome back into Locked On Vols. And for the first time in what feels like an eternity, it's been about a month. On Wednesday, it will be Ward Wednesday. We're going to bring on Josh Ward, our good buddy, and a quick disclosure here, testing out a new software. So this is very much going to be an interview. We're going to get to some Tennessee stuff. Don't get me wrong, but if you're looking and you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see me pilfering around and trying some different things out right now. So with that being said, let's add our buddy Josh Ward to the screen. Everybody listening right now, just bear with us. Josh, you look clear. How are you?
Hey, doing okay. Hopefully it stays that way. I'll be your guinea pig. No problem.
All right. Check this little number out down here. A little rolling, little Josh like Ward it. At the bottom. Okay, we are on our way. Josh,
make sure to follow me on Twitter, everybody. Please. Thank you.
On YouTube, it's right there. You see it at Josh _Ward. Didn't have time to make him a lower third. But, Josh, Tennessee now in week two of fall football camp. Scrimmage number one happened yesterday. And overall, it kind of seemed like very much a first scrimmage. Too many balls on the ground, a little sloppy at times. But there were a number of players from the Ward around campus that stood out.
Yeah, offensively, yeah, I think Hendon Hooker continues to just show that he is the guy. Not that there's any question, but part of the conversation has been progression. What kind of progression will Tennessee see from Hendon Hooker? And I think he's comfortable being the leader of the offense, as this time a year ago, he's trying to figure out the offense and compete for a starting position. But then what about around Hendon Hooker? So I think the same applies to Cedric Tillman. You know he's the guy as your number one wide receiver. What about opposite? Well, Brew McCoy is somebody to pay attention to, but not being able to go right now because of physical reasons. There's still the question about his clearance to be able to play. But Walker Merrill is a wide receiver that's getting attention right now. And he didn't probably have his name mentioned a lot during the summer. It was more Jalen Hyde and Brew McCoy and maybe the Jimmies being talked about, Callaway and Holiday. But Walker Merrill has a chance. And you know, Ramel Keaton's there. In the mix, he needs to step up. He's an older guy. And then running back, Jabari Small is leading the way. Dylan Sampson is catching eyes. I think a lot of people said, okay, that guy fits in offensively. And Justin Williams-Thomas, I think, is still going to have a chance to help at running back as well. Because right now, you know, Lynjay Dixon working his way in and Jalen Wright trying to work his way back. So on the offensive side, I think it stands out there. Secondary, just a ton of competition, right? Wouldn't you say that on the defensive side? Is they're trying to get Kamal Haddon back. I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think Kamal Haddon, if healthy, is going to be a starting cornerback. I think he's one of the more talented guys back there. We saw a flash of that in the Music City Bowl, of course. It looked like his shoulder was popping in and out the entire game. He's still able to have an interception. It got a little bit of run as the year went on last year, but he's not been out there the last couple of days. So getting him back, health is a priority there. Thought it was notable that Christian Charles was back scrimmaging. He had a red non-contact jersey on pretty much all spring up until the day before the scrimmage. And he was up there with the first and second group getting some reps in. A lot of competition back there. But let's go back to a name that you mentioned here a moment ago. Freshman Dylan Sampson, very much kind of a buzz right now in fall camp. And I love this story because he's very much an underdog because he was the first running back committed to the class for 2022. Yet all the hype went to Justin Williams-Thomas. And I think Justin Williams-Thomas is going to be a fine player. But right now, the buzz is on Dylan Sampson, a guy that got here in June, a guy that's a little bit undersized. What have you heard? What do you like about his fit in this offense? And just because the position is so thin, I think we're going to see a lot of 24 Dylan Sampson this year.
We love home run hitters, right? Well, yeah. He has the ability to hit home runs out of the backfield, and that burst, that acceleration. Tennessee needed to add speed, and he would be on the list of players who should help Tennessee do that. And he hasn't been talked about much because there has been more conversation around Justin Williams-Thomas, who's a bigger back compared to Sampson, but you know, a guy that will have opportunities to make plays. Let's see if Jalen Wright can hold up. You certainly hope that Jabari Small will all season long, but there's no guarantee there. So depth is just a question. That's one reason that Lynjay Dixon was brought in, and he's going to factor in too. So I don't think the conversation right now needs to be, hey, can Dylan Sampson carry the ball 15 times for you in a game? Can he get the ball 5 to 7 times in a game and make a big play, make a splash play for you? If he does that, that's making a difference in this offense. But at some point, somebody else probably gets hurt along the way. That's the realistic scenario. And if that's the case, you need somebody that you can find confidence in and a benefit, not that you want it to happen, but a benefit from Jalen Wright being out and Lynjay Dixon still having to work his way in is that the freshmen have gotten more opportunity than you might typically expect early in camp. So far, I think they've done their best to make the most of it. And I think coming out of the scrimmage, Sampson absolutely did.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You flip it over on the defensive side of the football. I think defensive tackle might be something we're not necessarily talking about a whole lot. I know Josh Heupel said on Tuesday, that's after the scrimmage, that there's going to be more bodies. There's going to be more guys on the defensive line. And I do agree with that to an extent. I think you have more Leos. I think you got two young guys you want to bring along, but you got two veterans up there. You've got depth behind Tyler Barron. You got Tyree West, a freshman that we've been talking about, who had a good scrimmage as well, and the emergence of Dominic Bailey potentially. But that interior, that defensive tackle position, there's some names there, but I don't know how many of those guys the coaching staff truly trust right now. Regardless, they're going to have to play, but you know, Elijah Simmons, it's do or die time. We haven't heard his name whatsoever at camp so far. Amari Thomas, of course, the leader of that group, veterans and Karat Garland, Deshaun Terry. You've got Latrell Bumpus who can play inside as well. I think that defensive tackle spot's a position that we're not really paying attention to, but obviously is going to be big for this defense.
Well, the roll call takes a little bit longer now because we are talking about more players that the coaches would probably be okay putting on the field. How many difference makers, how many guys to lead the way like Matthew Butler did? I don't know right now. I don't think Rodney Gardner has a ton of confidence in saying, yeah, this guy or that guy is going to show up and make plays because they still have to do it for the first time. Amari Thomas is an obvious candidate. DJ Terry is somebody that we've talked about a lot for a reason. Bryson Eason has upside, but this is all upside we're talking about with these guys. So let's see. I think on the edge, there's real confidence that they have some improvement from Young and from Barron and some real talent to work with Joseph Sin. Pierce, again, that's upside too. But on the interior, it's kind of put up or shut up time for a couple of those guys at least. And Matthew Butler played a lot of snaps last year. And he was a really good player. He was one of the best players on the field whenever Tennessee was out there. But they need somebody to eat up those snaps, and they need somebody to lead the way and produce the way Butler did. And I don't think Jaquan Blakely is one of the best Tennessee defensive linemen of all time, but he was an important guy to play snaps, and Caleb Tremblay was able to come in and play snaps. So those guys have to be replaced as well. But Butler's leadership and his ability to make a difference on the interior is one of the big questions of how Tennessee will do that this fall. And you know, maybe halfway through the season, they're being coached by somebody like Rodney Gardner. Maybe we are talking about, okay, Amari Thomas has come on, and a couple of other guys have as well. If you're of the mindset that I'll give the benefit of the doubt that that's going to happen because Rodney Garner's the coach, I get it. I think you probably should have that mindset, but they still have to go prove it.
Josh, about almost, gosh, I don't even want to call it midweek. I feel like camp just started, but you're vastly approaching the midway point of fall camp. Another scrimmage is going to take place on Sunday. By that point in time, the coaching staff will know who they can count on. They'll start repping those guys and getting all the reps they can with the ones, and ultimately start turning the attention to Ball State. Anything else on camp here in the early going that has caught your attention? And then lastly, the coaches poll. No, kept looking for Tennessee. No Tennessee in the top 25. No, you had Bill Conley on Josh and Swain the other day. He has Tennessee as high as number 9 in his rankings. What did you think about Tennessee not making that coaches poll as well?
Yeah, to start out from camp, left tackle continues to be a position battle that I think everybody's paying attention to. I think that's the most important position battle, probably by a wide margin. I think the battle at corner matters and in the secondary overall, but it's probably in a position where, you know, if you're talking about corner, Kamal Haddon needs to be back out there. There's not going to be much difference in the confidence level, whether you're talking about Haddon or Christian Charles or Brandon Turnage in terms of just those names being thrown out. Left tackle, you're talking about protecting the quarterback, Hendon Hooker, and you're talking about J.J. Crawford, who's unproven, and Gerald Mincy, who's been at another SEC school that said, okay, we'll see in the SEC East, him going from Florida to Tennessee. So that position battle really matters. That would be my biggest question mark moving forward. There are other things to figure out in special teams and the kick return game and competition at wide receiver. I think is very real, to go back to the start of the conversation. But left tackle easily is my number one over the next 3 weeks to pay attention to. As far as the poll, I disagree with Tennessee not being a top 25 team. I think it belongs in. I would be in between where the coaches poll had Tennessee, which is essentially 28th by total votes. And then where you mentioned Bill Conley has Tennessee, and they might drop a spot or two, but right around the top 10 by the time the final SP Plus projection comes out. I'm not ready to say Tennessee is a top 10 team. And even Bill said the projection is more like 8.5 wins. So 8-4, 9-3, isn't that what a lot of people are talking about? Maybe 7-5, but I think more, especially if you're on the optimistic side, would be 8-4, maybe 9-3 if if things go right and Tennessee stays relatively healthy. So if that's the case from a ranking standpoint, where Tennessee would be, you're more likely in the 15 range, 15 to 20. And I think that's the appropriate spot. Preseason polls difficult. I thought Texas was too high at number 18 because, like Tennessee, Texas still has to prove what it can be. It had a worse record than Tennessee last year playing in the Big 12 and still has plenty of defensive questions. And right now doesn't know what it's getting at quarterback, has a lot of talent there with Quinn Ewers transferring in. So, you know, that would be an example where I think Texas is too high. I think Tennessee's too low. I might even flip flop the two UTs.
So you're not ready to say that Tennessee's a top 10 team?
I'm as ready as you are to say that Tennessee is a top 10 team right now, Eric Kane.
My banner right here says that Josh Ward says Tennessee is a top 10 team. Everybody on YouTube sees it, so I don't know how you're going to get out of this one.
You know what? Change what I just said or what you just heard, because if it's printed and it's posted, then it's got to be real.
Josh Ward, man, appreciate it so much. You guys got a lot coming up. Josh and Swain, the Sports Animal, noon to 3 every single weekday. What's coming up the rest of the week on Josh and Swain?
Yeah, Jason Swain obviously has good football knowledge of what's going on, and now that we're in the heart of camp, good conversation there. Thursday, look out for a conversation with Andy Staples of The Athletic. He wrote a good story on Cedric Tillman at the beginning of the week. So on Thursday, Andy Staples of The Athletic is scheduled to join the show.
Josh Ward, thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, as always, Josh Ward for Ward Wednesday right here on Locked On Vols. Stay tuned. We'll come back and conclude this edition here on a Wednesday. This is Locked On Vols. Welcome back into Locked On Vols, a final segment here on a Wednesday. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Again, if you're new to the show, thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Locked On Vols, Locked On Podcast Network. It is your team every single day. All right, so we just heard from Josh Ward for a little Ward Wednesday action. To conclude this show, let's head on over to Saturday Down South and check out an article from Connor O'Gara that was posted yesterday. And it's the top 25 SEC players heading into the 2022 season. Any Tennessee Volunteers make this list? Well, I'll give you two guesses, and you'll probably go two for two. Hendon Hooker comes in at number 8 on this list, and Cedric Tillman comes in at number 9. Hendon Hooker, why I like him, per O'Gara. The guy wasn't even a day one starter, yet he posted a 31-3 touchdown to interception ratio. All three INTs came versus teams that had at least played in a New Year's Six Bowl. He finished number 3 in FBS in quarterback rating, and he ran for 620 yards, which would have been even higher if he didn't take 36 sacks. That's a crazy thing when you think about it. He should be even better in 2022, and didn't even mention he had 5 rushing touchdowns. So yes, the touchdown to interception ratio, truly it's 31-3, but I like to say it's 36-3 because you add on those 5 rushing. I know that's not how it works, but still, that's kind of how I view it. Hendon Hooker comes in at number 8. At number 9, Cedric Tillman, why I like him, from the author. He closed last season with a 7-game stretch in which he averaged 6.9 catches, 124 yards, and 1.4 touchdowns a game. That included a combined 352 yards against Alabama and Georgia. He also broke the program record for consecutive games with a touchdown catch at 7, which was dated all the way back to 1995, and he finished with 16 catches of 25-plus yards on the season. Cedric Tillman, widely considered the number 2 wide receiver in the SEC, but hey, hold on a second. According to this list, Cedric Tillman comes in at number 9. He is the first wide receiver on the board. Coming in 1 spot behind Cedric Tillman is Keyshawn Boutte, the wide receiver from LSU. Per the media, it was Boutte and Jermaine Burton potentially, or not Burton. Yeah, Jermaine Burton. But pretty much everybody else has Keyshawn Boutte and Cedric Tillman as the top 2 wide receivers in the SEC. But this really is the first list that I've seen where Cedric Tillman is ahead of Keyshawn Boutte, the LSU wide receiver. Who else comes in on this list? Well, we'll go to the top. And of course, no surprise if you listen to Locked On Vols, and a lot of you guys like to make fun of me and say I have a love fest for him, but simply put, he's the best football player in the country. No doubt about it. Will Anderson Jr., the linebacker from Alabama, he comes in at number 1 on this list. The reigning Heisman Trophy winner comes in at number 2 with Bryce Young. So 2 Alabama Crimson Tide players are at the top. Then you got Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, coming in at number 3. Jalen Carter, defensive lineman from Georgia, at number 4. And then Antonio Johnson, the defensive back from Texas A&M, with Jordan Battle, the safety from Alabama, at number 6. And number 7 is Cam Sutton of South Carolina, the cornerback. We mentioned Hooker at 8, Tillman at 9, Boutte at 10. Nolan Smith, linebacker at Georgia's at 11. Tank Bigsby, running back of Auburn, is 12. Jalen Catalon, Arkansas safeties at 13. Eli Ricks, the quarterback of Alabama, is at 14. KJ Jefferson, Arkansas quarterback, is at 15. Nick Broeker, offensive lineman of Ole Miss, is at 16. Chris Rodriguez, the running back, the SEC's leading rusher from a season ago, is at number 17 on this list. Devin Achane, the Texas A&M running back, I'm still not saying his name correctly, but he's been there forever. He comes in at number 18. Dallas Turner, the linebacker from Alabama, is 19. And 20, it's Jahmyr Gibbs, who has yet to play a game for the Alabama Crimson Tide, but truly a standout career before coming to Alabama, is at number 20. The last five on this list, Zach Evans, transfer portal from TCU, now at Ole Miss, the running back. He comes in at number 21. Derek Hall, Auburn's defensive end at 22. One-time Tennessee football commit, B.J. Ojulari, the LSU defensive end, is number 23. Osiris Torrance, the offensive tackle from Florida, is at 24. And then it's Spencer Rattler. You know you had to get Spencer Rattler in somewhere. And according to Saturday Down South, he is the 25th best player in the SEC entering the new season. Again, I don't think he's going to be awful. I think that there's a whole lot of talent there, but I am not buying any stock in Spencer Rattler until I see him do at a consistent level in the Southeastern Conference. But big takeaways, Hendon Hooker coming in at number 8, Cedric Tillman coming in at number 9, two top 10 players for the University of Tennessee. Not bad, of course, on the offense, and everybody's kind of predicting Tennessee to take a, you know, maybe another step as a team, but continue to pick up right where they left off offensively in 2021. All right, that's going to do it here for today's show. Big time, big thanks to Josh Ward for stopping by the show. Had fun recapping this article from Saturday Down South, and of course, some notes from the scrimmage and audio and video from Josh Heupel. If you're watching this on YouTube, new little setup. Hope you like the little rolling screen there, or what do you call it? The rolling tab, the rolling ticker. That's what you call it. The rolling ticker there at the bottom, kind of like ESPN style. We can put some different messages and stuff on that as we continue on and we get used to this new platform. So having a little fun with it, but thanks for your patience. And thanks for tuning in as always. Coming up later in the week, I do want to get back to the schedule. We did the most important football games on the schedule. Earlier this week, I think it was on Mondays. At some point this week, I want to do toughest games, ranking each game essentially, you know, from toughest to least toughest, or easiest rather. A lot of you guys didn't like that I had Alabama ranked at number 7 in terms of games of importance because it's a rivalry game. I can assure you, Alabama will be number 1 on the list of toughest games for the University of Tennessee whenever I come out with that list. So that's what you had to look forward to the rest of the week. Hopefully going to get a VFL on to join the show and preview a little Tennessee football at some point this week as well. But all that and more coming up on the rest of the week. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen, your first watch on YouTube, your first listen wherever you find your podcast. Check out Locked On SEC. Make that your second listen right behind Locked On Vols, which of course is your first listen each and every day. Guys, thanks so much. Really, really do appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you. Same time, same place. Pull up a chair. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Locked On Vols.